the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Very warm welcome to you wherever you are, either here in church or sat at home, probably, preferably in some ways, on a morning like today when it's cold and damp, but nevertheless, wherever you are, it's very good to welcome you for our worship together this morning as we continue our journey through Advent.
When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. Turn to us again, O God, our Saviour, and let your anger cease from us. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Show us your compassion, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Your salvation is near for those that fear you, that your glory may dwell in our land. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, who at your first coming sent your messenger to prepare the way before you, grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found an acceptable people in your sight. For you are alive and reign with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. The servant of the Lord said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then he said to him, "Who are you?" "Then let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Who will rid me of this turbulent priest? These are words attributed to Henry II, as I'm sure the historians amongst you will know. And the priest in question was Archbishop Thomas Becket, who was martyred on the 29th of December 1170 in Canterbury Cathedral. Of course, to give that date some context for us today, that is 15 years before the first priest recorded here at Whitkirk. Becket was a bit of a pain, awkward, who would not say or do what the king wanted. Hence those words, "Who will rid me of this turbulent priest?" These words have sometimes been on the lips of others faced with priests who are a bit awkward, who hold fast to what they believe, whatever the cost. In the biography of another famous Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael Ramsay, there is a photograph reproduced from the Sunday Express in 1965, a little before my time. It depicts him bursting into a room with the then Prime Minister Harold Wilson, remember him, and Jim Callaghan before they introduced a controversial bill to the Commons, with Wilson saying, "Will no one rid me of this turbulent priest?" So the Archbishop is not just a bit of floral decoration for occasions of state, the one with the best hat, but a person of substance, willing when necessary to take a stand against what they perceive to be wrong. But why should they? Is not religion more of a leisure interest concerned solely with the realms of the spiritual? Indeed, this is what some people still say when archbishops, bishops, or even vicars speak out and criticize political policy or comment about the life of the nation or our local community. Ramsay was once asked this question, "Why stick your nose in?" He gave the simple reply that if we are to take seriously the two commandments, to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, then the faith cannot remain private and spiritual. Or as a fellow parish priest put it, the accusation that bishops should stay out of politics is frankly ridiculous. Christianity is not just a narrow little hobby for the soul, but a vision for the whole world, every part of it, transformed by the love and presence of God. So the church speaks, and as a recent documentary I watched on the Thatcher years on the BBC reminded me, in the 1980s, early 80s at least, the opposition was really the church as the Labour Party descended into civil war. The church who asked awkward questions. I even remember Faith in the City being published, an important report that highlighted the growing inequality and division in society. Later on, and I've mentioned him before, I remember meeting the vicar of Brixton, who had been there during the riots in 81, I think it was 81, and then become a member of the group that wrote that report. He was a kind of John the Baptist for Brixton. I admired him enormously. I remember how even well into his retirement, he could not help but speak out from the pulpit with the passion and conviction about how and where he saw human life diminished and degraded at the time, and that we had a part to play in doing something about it. If I'm honest, I feel a bit inadequate when I meet someone like him, passionate and articulate and unafraid to speak directly. And as someone who has the privilege of preaching, I'm mindful of sometimes shying away from controversy, someone who wants to take the long view, who wants to say something to everyone, regardless of their political persuasion. My instinct is often to be cautious. That's partly because of reticence, but also the sense that alongside the naming of that which is wrong and diminishes life, where the love we are committed to sharing is absent, there needs in this age of instant news and knee-jerk reactions to be a place of reflection in our lives, a sacred place and space, to help us wrestle together with how and what impact our faith might have on how we see both our lives and the life of the world at this moment, informed, of course, by an alternative vision for the world, a vision that shapes us over time. The collect for this week always comes as a timely reminder that the ministers and stewards of the mysteries of God are to be like John the Baptist, each in our own way, to prepare and make ready for the coming of Christ. Of course, part of that preparation is to hold up a mirror to ourselves, which we did a bit last week when we considered our time, but also more widely. And here we come to Isaiah and that wonderful reading. Like most of the prophets, wading through Isaiah can sometimes be a depressing experience. Everything seems to look grim, hope has faded, something we may have felt along the way these last few months. And then you get this insight into his calling and words that resonate deeply with us all in this season of longing. We heard that the oppressed are to receive good news, the brokenhearted are to be healed, the captives freed, the mourning comforted and made glad, and faint spirits restored with praise. Isaiah, for whom the Spirit of the Lord rests upon, speaks of what might be, and does it not, even today, bring us hope and encouragement? The other day I saw again, pinned on a notice board at home, a badge a parishioner had given me from her travels with these words on it, you will know them. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Words of another turbulent priest, Martin Luther King. And he too named things as they were, but he also held before that society a vision of what could be. And so, shaped by what we hear from the scriptures, this week Isaiah at his most memorable and John the Baptist challenging as ever, we are invited in our own way to be turbulent, troublesome, meddlesome priests, where we see and know human life diminished, where our neighbors are denied the fullness of life that love demands. And the need for that vision of what might be remains, and the church, and we as her members, troublesome priests all, still have a role to play, to testify by our lives to the light, to testify to the light that is coming into the world. Amen.
Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end.
forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we await the coming of your Son Jesus with love and thanksgiving in our hearts. Please let us pray. You bring your Son into the world to save the world. We pray, Heavenly Father, for your people all over the world according to their needs. We pray for the Falkland Islands and its people, and for the Right Reverend Timothy Thornton, Bishop of the Forces and Bishop to the Falkland Islands. We pray for all in our diocese who provide pastoral care to members of the community, and for all children in the care system, that they will find a lifelong, loving and safe forever home. In our diocese, we pray for those working during the Christmas season, for doctors and nurses, police and fire service, for carers, post and delivery people, and all shop workers. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of all, guide with your Holy Spirit those who hold high offices of state as they struggle with COVID-19, Brexit, and the many concerns of the day. Keep them focused and save them from anything that would corrupt or impede progress. We give you thanks, dear Lord, for our Queen Elizabeth, in those she meets and in the authority committed to her charge. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the city of Leeds and its towns and villages. Lord, grant peace in our communities, and may the leaders of the city show openness and fairness and seek to serve wisely and with integrity. Father, may your presence be felt amongst them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. At St. Mary's, we pray for all involved in providing online services. We pray for all those living on the streets and for the volunteers to care for them. We pray for the residents of Barraby Avenue. Shine your light in their lives. The second lockdown has revealed increases in abuse, cruelty, heartache, and even deaths. Let us pray and feel for the victims. Pray for the people we most avoid, the strange, the bereaved, or never employed. Pray for the women and pray for the men who fear their living is all in vain. Pray for the parents who have lost a child. Pray for the women whom men have defiled. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the baby for whom there's no love, and pray for the weary who find no rest. Pray for the lives by life confused, riddled in doubt, in loving abused. Pray for the lonely heart conscious of sin, which longs to be pure, but fears to begin. Lord, in your mercy, to the lost Christ shows his face, to the unloved he gives his embrace. To those who cry out in pain or disgrace, Christ makes with his friends a touching place. Lord, in your mercy. Father, you give us gifts to use in your service. Be with all who have lost their livelihood and are bewildered. Open opportunities for the talents for talents to be channeled constructively, that dignity be restored, hope renewed, and no one may feel they are without worth. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, Father, for the medical and other scientists working on COVID-19. Keep their intentions pure and their energies strong. Father, we pray for all who are suffering pain in body, mind, and spirit. For those with long drawn out illness, and for those who are terminally ill. Our prayers have been asked for. George Brown, Ginny Campone, Tom Heafy, Jennifer Mode, Christine Oates, Margaret Tomlinson, Martin Hatton, Ian May. may they know your love for them and feel the warmth of your presence. Divine God, you sent John to announce your redeeming presence. Receive into your tender care all who have recently died. Anthony Cooper and Kath Harwood. May they rest in the peace of your love and joy. We remember those whose anniversary of death is at this time. Maud Taylor, Norman Beveridge, Shirley Eastwood, Margaret Lightwood, Joseph Taylor, Alexandra Mills. Loving Father, console those who mourn the loss of a dear one. Lord, in your mercy. Father, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of your Son, may we be found ready to greet him in faith, love, hope, gratitude, and joy. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of peace make you completely holy, ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Amen.
As this bread was scattered and then gathered and made one, so may your church be gathered into your kingdom. Glory to you, O God, forever. Wisdom has built her a house, she has mixed her wine, she has set her table. Glory to you, O God, forever. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and good to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God and everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ your Son. For when he humbled himself to come among us in human flesh, he fulfilled the plan you formed before the foundation of the world to open for us the way of salvation. Confident that your promise will be fulfilled, we now watch for the day when Christ our Lord will come again in glory. And so we join our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven to proclaim your glory forever, praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Christ is the bread of life. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit. Inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. God's holy gifts for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Body of Christ broken for us all. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for us all. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, for these heavenly gifts. Kindle in us the fire of the Spirit, that when your Christ comes again, we may shine as lights before his face, who is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. Light the third of the candles on the Advent wreath. And we pray. Blessed are you, Sovereign Lord, just and true. To you be praise and glory forever. Your prophet John the Baptist was witness to the truth as a burning and shining light. May we, your servants, rejoice in his light, and so be led to witness to him who is the Lord of our coming kingdom, Jesus, our Saviour and King of the ages. Blessed be God forever. Himself, the God of peace, make you perfect and holy, and keep you safe and blameless in spirit, soul, and body for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. As we await our coming Saviour, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.